Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Congress has been talking about credit cards all week. They'll talk about it next week. But all week, they've also been talking about cap and trade. Now, that's the cap and trade is the policy at the heart of the global warming debate, the Democrats' big global warming bill. Republicans are dead set against cap and trade. And the reason in their message is that cap and trade is going to make your electric bills go up. And they say it's going to make your electric bills go up a lot. Now, that's their message. And the message machine is in full force.
According to an analysis by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology,
you might say it's just one study.
And holy cow, this month's electricity bill
to increase by $3,128 per year.
Where'd all this come from?
This study is completely consistent with everything else we know.
Now, the study they're talking about is from MIT. You heard that. And the man who wrote it is Professor John Riley. He's an MIT environmental economist. And it's fair to say, I think, that Professor Riley is deeply annoyed, maybe even mad as heck, that the Republican message machine is distorting and misrepresenting his data. Well, we've got him on the line, and we want to talk to him about what he thinks about how Republicans are using his study and what he thinks the real data are. Professor, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good. Thanks for joining us. Well, Professor, we'll get to some numbers in a second, but first I just want to lay it out. Republicans have spent weeks citing your study, saying that it concludes that the cap-and-trade system will cost every household in America an average of about $3,000 on their electric bills. Now, you wrote a very public letter to Republican leader John Boehner on April 1st, asking him and his caucus to stop doing it. Now, I was in a briefing with Republican Conference Chair Mike Pence just this week on Tuesday. You wrote your letter on April 1st, and I was in this briefing, and there was the MIT study again and $3,000 yet again. What do you make of this?
Well, I tried to explain to them why the number they're drawing from the study is a misinterpretation, but they've chosen not to change their view. The number is taken from what we said is the auction revenue that is raised by selling these allowances that would cap greenhouse gas emissions. And that auction revenue is revenue to the government that then would go back and be recycled to the people, citizens. And so that is not a proper estimate of the cost. So the cost is the amount of actions that people take to avoid paying the tax, kind of paying those extra prices, insulating their homes or buying more fuel-efficient vehicles. And so that's the real cost to the economy, and that's a very different number. Our estimate in 2015, instead of the $3,128 they've come up, is more like $80 a family.
Yours is more like $80. Okay, but yeah. In addition to better insulation and more efficient appliances, we do expect electric bills, or if assuming that a home is heated with electric like most are, we do assume that electric bills, energy bills, would go up for households, correct?
Oh, yes. I mean, that is the whole point of a cap-and-trade system. The extra costs get put into electric bills, into cost of gasoline and the cost of natural gas. And so it's those higher prices that are the incentives to do something different. So those higher prices are there, and there will be a cost to consumers and households, and we tried to estimate that cost, but it's not the auction revenue that's collected.
Not the auction revenue, but one of the big debates here is how much of the auction revenue is returned to what's called ratepayers. Ratepayers are just people like you and me who pay electrical bills, or even businesses that pay electrical bills. And I'm assuming that the $3,000 number assumes that none of the money goes back to us, the consumers. Does your assumption assume that all of it goes back to consumers? Because that's not what Congress is talking about.
Yeah, so our assumption is that it all goes back to households.
Okay, well, I want to ask you about that, because in the halls of Congress where I work, the number that's sort of getting thrown around right now is people are sort of coalescing around 40%, that people think that what might go into this bill when it's finalized, and that could come as early as next week in the House, would be sort of a 40% return to households to help ratepayers lower this increase in their electrical bills. So what would your estimate be under if it were 40%?
Well, it's a little bit tricky, because when the government collects this money, they might return some amount of it directly to a check or in some way to consumers, saying this is some share of this auction revenue. But the rest of the money is used to perhaps have a lower deficit or provide other government programs. So that ends up somehow getting back and affecting the average household. Now, obviously, households are differentially affected by energy costs. And right. depending on how the money is spent or returned, it goes to one household and not to the other. So it, how the money is spent or used or returned to the households does have important impacts on households. But this average household that covers all people includes the money that's directly returned or the reduction in taxes or the lower deficit. So for the average person, it essentially is all returned, but the average, of course, doesn't deal with individuals.
All right, Professor Riley. Well, thank you. It also probably doesn't include things like maybe gasoline costs and other fuel costs that aren't home heating. Professor John Riley from MIT, author of the study that's being used in Congress as a cudgel in the cap and trade debate. We thank you for joining us.